This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're back on The Pulse with Ali and Othniel tonight, and we just heard a track by American hardcore band Turnstile, the track Blackout off of their new latest release, Glow On.
Yeah, it was just released last Friday, if I'm not mistaken. And in our album review this week, we are going to be sharing our thoughts on that latest record by current darlings of hardcore music, Turnstile.
Yep, a Baltimore band, five-piece, formed in 2010. And you know, we call them hardcore music, but this album is all of that and more. Although the vocalist of the band, Brandon Yates, claims that Turnstile are a hardcore band, which is roughly an offshoot of punk music, and this genre is pretty huge worldwide. Even locally, the Malaysian hardcore scene is also quite prominent in this region.
I've always felt like the genre of Southeast Asia is like post-hardcore, which was the sound of many years ago, right?
Yeah.
So American hardcore definitely has a worldwide appeal, especially with the American sound that bands like Turnstile and their contemporaries have been producing. And we're going to focus on the band's newly released fourth studio album, Glow On, just came out this week, as mentioned earlier. And this album really challenges the typical nuances, right, of a typical hardcore sound by incorporating lots of different subgenres, crossing over to other sounds like pop punk, even some hip hop.
Yeah, and it's the band's second album that came out on a major label, Roadrunner Records. So this album has the financial backing of a big record label and also the bravery of a band that are willing to push the envelope in a sound that's become quite tired of all of its own tropes.
Yeah, Ali, you've been a fan of the band before this, right? I'm going to say that today is the first time I've heard of Turnstile.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you can tell me more about their previous albums.
Right. So through the last decade, Turnstile have produced one EP and two full-length albums. The sound of those previous records were quite straightforward, modern hardcore with, all that typical tropes in that genre. There's the chaga-chaga, big guitar sound, the danceable breakdowns, and also gang vocals that's pretty tried and tested in the last 30 years lah. But I guess every band has their own appeal, and I think Turnstile always stood out from the rest of the pack, which led to their major label breakthrough in 2018. Their album Time and Space was put out by Roadrunner Records, which is a bigger label than the independents that they were on before. And Time and Space got rave reviews. It was described as a turning point for the band, even though they have still had the searing guitar solos and hardcore punk backbeats. They're all present. The sound was considered to be more appealing to a bigger audience outside of their own following, and I think that probably has a lot to do with their presence on a major label.
Yeah, even though the band was formed in 2010, right? But even though I was thinking, Time and Space sounded like the turning point for the band, where they maybe got a bit more daring to incorporate non-hardcore sounds.
Like keyboards, right? Like piano sounds and even slower parts.
But how's the hardcore scene like nowadays? Airwaves is mostly dominated by hip-hop and R&B and whatnot. So how's the hardcore scene like right now?
Yeah, I think from what I see, as far as the scene and the ideology goes, hardcore music is definitely very much alive. Aggressive music will always find its place with listeners anyway. The great thing about the internet is that bands have now become more experimental in crossing over or like trying to hybridize the standard sound. So there's a lot more mixes with elements from other extreme music types, like mixing metal or even punk, and then there's some bands that also go into industrial and even jazz kind of compositions in a hardcore sound. But as far as scene champions go, I think Turnstile is definitely at the top of the list, in the American hardcore bands kind of sound.
Yeah, everybody seems to be pushing for Turnstile to be, the next stars of the hardcore scene, right? Yeah, so on production duties, right, of this brand new album is, I did some research into it. It's Mike Elizondo from Sterling Sound, which on the surface might be quite a weird choice because I checked out his wiki page. He's one of the most diverse producers out there. He's credited for songs like 50 Cent in the Club, Eminem's Real Slim Shady, Carrie Underwood, to even Mastodon.
Wow.
So this guy really does it all. I'm not sure how much it contributed, but I'm pretty sure with a producer that, you know, has his hand in so many different genres out there. Maybe it contributed to the mix of sounds and influences that we've been hearing throughout that album that really sets them apart. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, before even listening to the album, you know, I already knew Turnstile as a straight up hardcore band because of the earlier stuff. So I didn't see this move into or incorporating new sounds in there. But before the release of Glow On, they were already teasing the arrival of this album. A couple of months ago, they put out a 13-minute long feature video called Turnstile Love Connection. It's on YouTube, you can check it out. And in there, it showcased their new direction, something that they've never done before, quieter parts, you know, like dream pop almost for a hardcore band. And then when they followed it up with another single release, Fly Again, they had another 7 tracks from the album. So listeners, or at least new listeners like me, were previewed to a really nice mix of sounds. It also features something quite unusual, which is a song with Blood Orange, Dev Hines, right? And, you know, last week when the album came out, we found out that Glow On has 15 tracks. They run for 35 minutes, which is a great length and a, you know, great total number of songs for an album in this genre. The songs are short and most of them fall below the 3-minute mark. So very succinct and very definitely quite sweet.
Yeah, it was quite an easy listening experience to listen from front to back. But we'll be heading to a short break, but right after that, we'll be letting you know our personal favorites from that album, maybe some tracks that we didn't quite like as well.
Yep, so if you have heard and like the Turnstile new album Glow On, you can let us know, tweet us at BFM Radio or also WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Let us know your favorite tracks. We're gonna go into the lead single off of Turnstile's Glow On. Here they are with Mystery on the Pulse, BFM 89.9.
Turnstile with Alien Love Call. This one features Blood Orange, aka Dev Hines.
Yep.
This week, we are reviewing the new Turnstile album, Glow On. And previously, before the break, we just gave a bit of background, you know, some updates about the hardcore scene in 2021. And right now, we'll be sharing some thoughts. Ali, what was your first impression, you know, listening to this album for the very first time?
Right. I gotta say I'm late to the Turnstile party, you know, because it's a sound that I don't listen to very often, but I know they're a big name in the genre. So after listening to the single Fly Again, I read a lot about how they have incorporated other sounds into their music. So I heard strains of the 90s alternative rock, there's a bit of modern hip hop, and also paired up with some dreamy soundscapes, you know. And actually, what piqued my interest is when I read somewhere that this music by Turnstile is akin to post-hardcore bands from the early noughties that also did this mixing elements thing, bands like Glassjaw and Deftones, which are two of my favorites when I was growing up. So initially, when I heard Turnstile, I feel like it was more cold than hot. Because I think the first song I heard was that track earlier we heard, Alien Love Call featuring Blood Orange, and I wasn't that impressed. It felt like, this is another hardcore band gone soft.
Yeah, honestly, that song is not a great representation of what they're about to offer, right, in
Correct.
The full album.
Yeah, but after listening to the entire record, I began warming up to it, and, you know, before I knew it, I was already repeating it over and over again over the weekend. Here's why I think I fell for it. I think it's the mixture of the elements from all of extreme music that they've put together here that I find work very seamlessly in every composition. It's clear to me that these are a bunch of guys who have been listening to many things outside of the genre and the sound that they play. So that's always a plus point.
Yeah.
How about you?
I think they've blended in not only sounds from like other like subgenres of hardcore or like that are related to hardcore, but I think they've managed to blend in sounds that maybe you would not expect to blend. You know, there are small things like chimes that I thought like, that was interesting, and or like drum machine sounds or even the percussiveness that felt a bit Latin funk.
Yeah,
I was
definitely.
Like, whoa, that was interesting. It really makes you want to listen to the whole album front to back, because listening for the first time, I did not know what to expect at all. I was like, whoa, what's this? Yeah, I found myself listening front and back again after that just to relieve the experience. And I found myself not skipping through the songs like I normally would, because 35 minutes is a great duration for an album. And you know, sometimes by the third chorus of a track, when it comes around, you're like, okay, I've already heard the whole song and I don't have to listen to like the last few minutes of the track. But this one, there was just so much variety that I really did not know what to expect at all. I have to confess that I haven't been listening to a lot of like hardcore music, so I haven't been keeping track with the scene for years. In fact, the only guitar-driven music that I've been listening to this year is, embarrassingly, Willow Smith or Olivia Rodrigo. Yeah, Gen Z's attempts at a reviving pop-punk, right?
Yep.
I mean, the last hardcore album I listened to was probably The Shape of Punk to Come by Swedish band Refused, which was many, many years ago. Listening to this album, I was like, whoa, it really makes me want to get back into louder music. Such a breath of fresh air.
It's great that you mentioned Refused and The Shape of Punk to Come, because at one point of getting into this Turnstile album, I really felt like this is the shape of punk to come.
Yeah, I thought that too.
Yeah, you know, because when Refuse put out The Shape of Punk to Come, it was 1998 and it was like, you know, the dawn of the late 90s, you know, coming into the 2000s, and it did sound like the shape of punk to come back then. And without calling this album The Shape of Punk to Come in the next decade, Turnstile really put forth something that's quite fresh, I think, for, again, like we've mentioned earlier, a tried and tested and sometimes tired sound already.
Yeah, hardcore as a genre, if I'm not wrong, it like started all the way back from late 70s, early 80s. So for a genre that's been around for so long and you can reinvent the wheel, I think props to them. What about vocals, instrumentation and all that? What was your favorite aspect of that?
I love the vocalist. His name is Brandon Yates. And I think Brandon's really the force behind this record. And from previous album, listeners will already know that he's got a few vocal ranges. But his approach to songs on Glow On shows that there can be many ways to express anger, right?
Yeah. You don't have to shout all the time.
Right. And, you know, there are different ways to scream. And he manages that extremely well. The vocal range reminds me of, again, bands like Refused. And I heard a bit of Jim Ward's Sparta in that high-pitched wail. But also on the faster parts, I heard bits of the Beastie Boys when he's screaming in the faster songs. So I like that part about the vocals on this supposedly heavy album.
For me, the first thing that stood out to me, right, is because in 2021, I mean, hip-hop is the leading genre right now, right? But this album really feels like hardcore punk that's reinvented for today's ears. Hip-hop has changed the production style, right, where it's very drum kick heavy and bass heavy, like take Leave the Door Open, for example. Even though it's inspired by Motown sounds, but the drum kick is mixed in a way that's very 2021, because it's, you know, it's for speakers or in clubs where you want to hear the bass and the kick being more pronounced. And, you know, listening to this song, I felt that the production really reflects that full-bodied experience. You know, it's best to listen with full volume, even though they did not have 808 heavy bass.
Right.
And the band really likes to play on the juxtaposition of loud, soft, even hard and soft. So, like in track 3, Don't Play, you get drum grooves that you wouldn't normally hear in a hardcore punk song. In the chorus, I was really taken aback from the very sweet-sounding piano melodies behind the backdrop of heavy guitars, which I thought was very interesting. And yeah, the blend of different sounds and influences, which we have mentioned a lot already, really works very well here. But they still sound like themselves, you know. They shift through so many different styles here and there, but they are still not veering too far away from their foundations.
Yeah. And, you know, guitar solos that remind me of, like, as you mentioned, Van Halen, for example, is something that you would normally get in a crossover thrash metal album or like a power metal or a metalcore band. But this is kind of soft for hardcore, and it's quite nice to see like their sound is being debated on forums like Reddit.
That's not hardcore.
You know, old heads slagging them off for making hardcore soft. But to me, I think the instrumentations is what makes this album really pleasant to listen to.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's not just the straight up hardcore sound, and they mix it up nicely. Another example I have here is tracks like No Surprise and Alien Love Call. You hear Turnstile attempting the quieter side of heavy music, and it doesn't sound out of place together with the harder songs.
Which takes a lot of courage, because they probably know that those people in the forums are, you know, writing, is this hardcore? Yeah, another track that really surprised me is New Heart Design. Suddenly sounded very 80s indie, you know, I got a bit of Johnny Marr guitar kind of vibe.
Yeah, so I think it's quite natural that, you know, a band like this would be very guitar heavy, right? So it's great that Johnny Marr, who's from the Smiths, you know, like 80s indie jangle pop, is influencing bands in the hardcore sound.
not even remotely close to hardcore.
Correct. And other things about this record, you know, that are quite pleasant to listen to are, like, for me, some riffs remind me of the late 90s alternative rock bands or like early noughties new metal riffs even.
Yeah, a bit of groove metal.
Right, groove metal. My God, it's such a cringy thing to think about right now that I was into those stuff like Limp Bizkit. But at the same time, they do it and not make it sound tacky, I guess. Yeah. You know, and to top it off, most of the duration of each song is not more than 3 minutes. Hmm. So for modern time, short attention span, listenership, I think, you know, short songs, straight to the point, you know, just
bang, bang,
bang, bang, bang.
So we've come to the part of the show where we tell you our favorite tracks and least favorite tracks.
Yeah.
Maybe let's start off with the favorite tracks.
Okay, so I think my top favorite would be the opening song, which is the single we heard earlier, Mystery. Mm-hmm. For a, again, quote unquote hardcore band, this is the best alternative pop song made by a band this heavy.
I mean, since we're talking about Mystery, is in my list for one of my favorites in that album also. I mean, the intro really threw me off because I thought I was listening to Phoenix with the arpeggiated synthesizers. I was like, okay, is this really hardcore? And then when the track kicks in, ah, man, it's so good. And the bass break during the chorus is definitely a track that that crowds will like sing along to, right?
Yep, and that's the perfect way to start off a record if you want to make a statement like this, right? Another track that I think I quite like is Fly Again, which would fall perfectly in place with the early 90s hard rock sound. You know, it's got the heavy chugs and that blazing solo, again, that Van Halen kind of solo. And then, you know, for me, No Surprise is a great song. 45 seconds of something that resembles an interlude, but it comes off really neatly with, you know, the swirling synthesizers again, and then it rolls into the last track, which is called Lonely Desires. This one has a very modern shoegaze take on it, which, you know, is a style that's been popularized by Turnstile's friends, actually. Bands like Tidal Fight and Nothing, they've played this sort of shoegaze, modern shoegaze kind of sound with a heavy composition. But yeah, so I think my favorites from this record, Mystery, Fly Again, No Surprise, and Lonely Desires. Hmm. What about yours?
Blackout is one of my favorites, actually. I don't know about you, but as a frequent listener of music, right? I mean, it's our job, but I'm always trying to predict what's next in the song, even while I'm still listening to the intro or still in the verse. I'm really thinking, oh, how's the chorus going to sound? How's the bridge going to sound? And for Blackout, I really did not expect that there would be funky percussions in the middle. That really took me by surprise. I had to start from the start again to like listen properly again. I think that really blew me away because I never heard that kind of use of percussions in a hardcore song before. Wild World is another track with very groovy percussions that sounded a bit like Latin funk. It's very interesting drum textures in there as well. I think those are some of my favorites because it sounded so fresh for a genre that's been around for so long.
That's right.
Perfection is very hard to come by. So let's get to our least favorite tracks.
Yeah, so I think as opposed to your feeling about listening to Blackout, I felt quite the opposite. I know the middle part has that funk breakdown, but I cannot get past the first 30 seconds or 45 seconds maybe, because that opening riff reminded me a lot of cringe bands like Papa Roach.
Maybe they wanted to bring it back.
I think they want to bring it back for on purpose. Good composition, I guess, but I really couldn't get past that Papa Roach riff at the start. And, you know, having a 15-track album, you're bound to like have some, I guess, unintended fillers. Hmm. And I feel like the song Endless is one of those that fall in that category. I mean, I'm sure it's meant to fit in the entire track listing flow, but I feel Endless is, like, for me, a straight up song without any eclectic mixture. So it's like the only song that should have stayed back with the songs from their 2018 album.
Yeah.
What about you?
For me, I know it's one of your likes as well, but I can't deal with Lonely Desires, the last track on the album. I think it shouldn't have ended on that note. I'm not too sure whether it was the right choice to end off a great album with Lonely Desires. And another track that I did not quite like, sadly, is also another track that features Blood Orange, aka Def Hynes. So I realized that both the tracks that I don't really like are tracks that features Def Hynes. I mean, I don't hate it, but it's not a song that I'll add into my playlist, but I'll probably listen to that song if I'm listening to the album in full. But I won't open my Spotify just to listen to Alien Love Call.
Yeah. Right, that's right. You know, the fact that a hardcore band has songs featuring someone in itself is already kind of like a hip-hop
a rarity,
move,
yeah.
Right? And they have Blood Orange on two tracks in this album. Mm-mm. So, you know, it goes to show that even different sounds can be friends, generally.
But with all that being said, right, it kind of makes sense to me why they had that shift in tempo. It's just to, you know, have some, you know, variety is the spice of life.
That's right. And I think with the total number of tracks and the ups and downs in terms of vibe and sound that we have on this record, is definitely a well thought out production and also well thought out album. So now,
the important question.
The important question. Do we like it enough to cop it, or are we just going to ignore it?
Well, for me, it's pretty obvious. I'm going to cop it if I can on vinyl as well, 12-inch.
Yep.
Heavyweight vinyl, so that I can enjoy it, and I'll blast the speakers, you know, full volume, 11 out of 10. Yeah, for me, Turnstile is a band that has really studied the rule books of hardcore before breaking those rules themselves. You know, I think Pitchfork really said it best in their glowing 8.4 out of 10 review on this new album. They said that Glow On is not a crossover hardcore album that looks to transcend the genre, but one that tries to elevate it to its highest visibility. And that's so true, I feel, because they're not really doing this for the sake of crossovering to other music charts.
Yep.
Their intention is just to introduce new spices, new flavors into a genre that they really love. And crossover records, normally it feels very watered down because it's usually associated with making it sound a certain way so that it can, you know, enter certain charts. But this one, it felt genuine and very bold as well, I would say.
Yeah, so, you know, normally crossovers are just a neither here nor there kind of affair, right?
But this one works somehow.
That's right. For me, what I think about Turnstile's Glow On, I am pleasantly surprised because it's one of those bands that intrigued me with this adventurous sound, but something that I did not catch on instantly because maybe I was not really excited by the band name. Perhaps, you know, they didn't sound like they would make this kind of music.
Or that one slow single.
Yeah, that one slow single that really didn't strike me the right way. And also, initially, some bits of the sounds on Glow On takes me back to a dark time in my music consumption, which is the new metal era of the early 2000s. It's something that I listened to a lot, probably grew up with it, but not really proud or would want to go and revisit that kind of sounds anymore. And I think Turnstile just turn it on its head right now with this, I guess, concoction of different sounds. The compositions are strong. So only the sound is new metal. But I think once the band comes on, it's very much the typical aggressive hardcore music. So I'm going to cop it. I think I'm like you. I might order the vinyl as well. And if you are still like, you know, on the fence about if you check out this album or even buy it for that matter, I guess listen to this band if you're into generally modern hardcore music, because you will find it quite nicely challenging. You know, it's not like completely out of the blue. And you know, aggressive music always has this kind of bands that mix things up. I think one band that comes to mind is a band like Mr. Bungle from the early 90s. They're this, you know, again, funky metal mixture of like of sounds. And Turnstile has a similar mixture in that way. It's, you know, and I think it ticks all the boxes. If you're hardcore, you're looking for hardcore riffs, it's there. You're looking for the metal solos, it's there. You're looking for the dreamy kind of poppy kind of breakdowns, it's also there. So
yeah, for me, it's an album that, you know, if you thought that maybe if you put it on and you go do laundry, you might end up sitting in front of the speakers instead of doing your laundry because it's so interesting, so exciting, and all that. So double cop from me and Ali. We're both going to order the record after this.
Yeah, it seems so. I think it's great to listen to a band like Turnstile in 2021. You know, when most bands are already either veering into the more modern sound, or like, in fact, some bands are going further back into the old school sound, you know, purveyors of analog music and recording and stuff. But Turnstile manages to mix both in terms of composition, sound, vibe, thought process, and even the entire sort of rollout of the album, pink album cover. You know, it's like breaking all the rules at the same time, making it really interesting for something that could be quite hard to get into.
Yeah. And there you have it. That was our review of the latest Turnstile album that just dropped last Friday, called Glow On, receiving glowing reviews from both of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's our album review of this week. You can let us know if you enjoy this album or not. You can tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us 018-789-8899.
Also, a reminder to check out the podcast if you miss any part of tonight's program, or also the back catalogues of The Pulse, which are on every Wednesday at 10 p.m. You can just go to our BFM website or also the BFM app. Just search for The Pulse. We're on. Next week is Hanif and Daryl. So that's it from both Auth and I on our take of Turnstile's Glow On.
And I think it's only right if we end off tonight's show with a Turnstile song. This one's called Holiday, right here on The Pulse, bringing you the latest news in the music world and fresh new music. I'm Auth Newting.
And Ali Johan. Good night.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.